I'm speaking today with Rick Rodriguez, who is one of the candidates for the special election City Council District H this May. Rick, first question I like to ask candidates is, why are you running for this office?
Well, I've got a vision. My vision for District H is, number one, is make sure that the community knows that we can count on an officer to reduce crime in the area, to keep crime at the lowest that we can possibly in our community. 23 years on as a police officer and experienced in community services for about 11 years, been involved with a lot of crime reduction programs that we've implemented back in the Southwest area back in the mid-90s, and a lot of it had to do with the Weed and Feed programs, the Gulfton Youth Development programs, parenting, computer classes, things that we put in as the Weed and Seed promise, to basically weed out the elements and put them in with a seed program for intervention for youth and the community. So with my experience in trying to reduce crime and with that angle, or to even try to be a president of organization especially in office, I've seen on how we've wastefully spent some money in the department, which it could be better used for having patrol officers out on the beat. I know that there's a manpower shortage going on. We're hopefully getting new recruits in this next year. We've got 7 proposed classes. I've seen them where they've only had 34, 35 cadets in each class, and unfortunately the last class I spoke to was very recently, they graduated almost 70. So that's a plus for us, that we're knowing that we're finally getting cadets rolling in through the academy, so that way we can have more cadets, more probation officers, and more officers on the street. So that's one big item that I like to see, more officers in the street. And of course, going way back in 1986 is when I first started. I patrolled the Heights area, the Northside area, and I was unfortunate to be the very last class of 1986 when the city decided to cut back on public safety, and they cut police and fire. And for 4 or 5 years, we didn't hire police officers or firemen. And of course, the results of that was crime went up. It skyrocketed in the late night and early 90s. So, with an experience knowing that that could happen, and experiencing now how the economy is, I definitely don't want no one to try to touch or cut public safety, because if it did, we're going to repeat ourselves. Our history's going to repeat itself, where crime is going to go skyrocketing again. So hopefully my experience going through that would help ensure the community today that we would have increased presence of public safety, not just police, but also fire. You just can't reduce fire and all of a sudden expect an ambulance being called from one side of the city to respond to another side of the city and not leaving coverage for your own neighborhood. There's a lot of things in the fire department also that they need. They need more ambulances. I know they're short, but I do want to make sure that it gets to the point where you have no personnel, no equipment, all of a sudden you leave your district uncovered. So that's another issue that I like to make sure throughout public safety, that we have full coverage of police and fire.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, since crime has been an issue lately in the district. I mean, other than trying to increase the number of officers on the street, which I think is something that obviously everyone wants to do, what specifically can be done in District H with existing resources, or a better use of resources, to help with crime?
Well, sure. I think everyone looks at the different agencies that we have around. Obviously, we've got Harris County Constables, we've got Harris County Sheriff Department, and we've got HPD. And I think it's time where we get together, the agencies, and try to work out a plan that we can work together and to help bring more manpower into the community. I know there's certain areas in the city that have certain precincts that are already in our HPD system, where they can go in and if they get a call for example, a burglary, the constable who responded will be able to handle that scene, and all they'll do is enter it in our HPD computer. Now, I know Precinct 5, Precinct 6 has that capability. I want to see if we can get maybe Precinct 1, because I know Precinct 1 is heavily in some part of our district, and maybe get them involved to partnership with HPD and get them to where they can start responding to crimes in the city, and maybe put the effort where we don't have to double up. An HPD officer will have to arrive to a call and say, well, it's in the city, it's your call. And you're wasting time there, where if an agency gets a call, they can handle it, and HPD can go on and still do proactive petroleum. And it, I've seen it in other communities, and I think in District H, we have a lot of resources. That's just one resource. And if you want to think out the box, you know, thinking out the box, we've got technology out there that we have Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is coming up real big in the city. We've already had several libraries that were doing the experimental Wi-Fi through the city. I know we had one big blunder with one of the contracts. We didn't come through with it, but now that that contract has repaid the city, I believe, $5 million to continue the Wi-Fi program. With that Wi-Fi, they're able to do video streaming with cameras. And I know people probably don't like the big brother attitude of saying, hey, we're going to watch you in this video, but cameras are a big asset around the country. They're a good tool for a witness, especially if, say, you've got a high-crime area that we may not be manpower, may not be there to have someone patrol it or someone to stand by certain areas that may such a park. You know, we can always install these cameras, and these cameras will be watched or can be monitored by it can be monitored 24/7 by recording device, or someone who's at a civilian who's, you know, who can be watching the cameras. But as long as we have some kind of recording tool to record an event, we can go back and watch these things and see who's perpetrating a crime. It could be anything that we can go and have a lead on something. But that's a new out of the box thinking that, you know, we got technology all around. So that means something we look at is filtering that in as a new way of fighting crime with technology.
Okay. You mentioned 1986 when the city of Houston cut back on its budget in a lot of places, because those were bad times around here. We're kind of in some bad times, bad economic times right now.
Sure.
How should the city be reacting with its budget to the current economic climate?
Well, again, they need to start thinking about where they're going to tighten the belt at. One is, like I said, I would hate public safety to be cut. Sure, there's going to be thinking that if capital improvements are going to be cut, where they're going to be cut at. And I know when we have currently going out, I know North Main is getting a huge makeover in the street there. They've got construction going on. You know, you think about the businesses that are in that little area. How's it going to affect them? You know, I want to propose some kind of way where if a contractor's coming in to tear down a main street like that, North Main, and it's going to affect the businesses, I'd like to make an ordinance where if these contractors would pay for a full-page ad in the Chronicle every month, if say that the project is going to last, say, more than 3 months, that the company would agree to say, we'll do this contract, and then we'll put a full-page ad every month on a Sunday just to let the public know that, hey, we're at this part of the project, but please support your local businesses. That way the businesses feel that, you know, they're hampered by the construction, sure, but at least the contractors, the guys who are constructing the streets, that they're trying to help make sure to the residents that we are not going to impede businesses or impede you from going to these businesses. So it's something that we want to try to, I want to try to help the business aspect in, because I know it's hard economic time, but we don't want to lose the businesses. I know during the rail was built, you know, in downtown, there was a lot of businesses that might have that closed because the people couldn't access their business. That was a big topic years back, and I don't want that to happen with any kind of construction, major construction, because especially now, I mean, if you had a mom and pop store who was really making it on neighborhood, the residents from the neighborhood, you know, how is that going to affect them? It may be devastated to the fact they may lose your customers and lose your business. So I want to kind of implement something at least to help them and help the public reassure that these projects are being done, but yet they're also open for business, come on and visit. So that's something that I'm thinking that we can try to propose at the business end to help alleviate from these businesses going down. So,
well, I mean, the capital investment budget was recently released, or the plan for District H was released a couple of weeks ago. Have you had a chance to look at it? What is your opinion of what's in there, and what do you think should be prioritized or not?
Well, gosh, I haven't really had a chance to really look at it in depth. I know it was released, but I haven't really looked at it, and so I can study it and see what we can, what's going to be eliminated, or what's not going to be eliminated, or what's going to put on hold. So I'm hoping when I look at it, I can see that the numbers are not affected because there wasn't anyone in District H to look at it, because I know District H has been abandoned for almost several months already, and I'm hoping that by looking at the budget, I can see there's not going to be nothing taken away from District H. So honestly, I have not really looked at it in depth.
Okay. You know, District H has a lot of historic neighborhoods for which there's a lot of interest in preservation statutes and ordinances. Give me your opinion on that, and what, if anything, City Council should be doing to strengthen preservation laws.
Well, we hit it right on the head. District H is very historical. You've got a lot of homes that are historical. You've got new development that's coming in. We just don't want to make, you know, District H, you want to make sure you have both mixture that is going to be comfortable to the neighborhood. The preservation laws, I'm sure that, you know, they need to be tightened up. Everyone talks about the urban versus the suburban type of issue on how they, you know, you build these, you let new development come in, and there's always loopholes about notices that are not out, and only 200-foot rule to notify the residents what's coming or what's being built. Those are the things you need to look at, because I think the entire neighborhood needs to be involved when new development comes in, so they can have the input before it goes up unnoticed by the neighborhood. Before you know it, you know, you'll get a multi-unit up there that could be bad for the community. But I think we need to re-look at the way the ordinances are set now, so that the entire neighborhood can have an input, not just one or two houses that are facing this 200-foot rule, but let the entire neighborhood decide, is this good for the neighborhood or not?
Okay. Metro, as you know, just recently approved a construction contract to start work on, among other things, the North Line, which I believe goes through District H, the north end of it. They do plan on having everything, their plan is to have everything finished by the end of 2012. If you're elected, you would most likely be in office through 2015. So looking forward, you know, as Metro finishes off the work that it has on the books right now, What else do you want to see them doing? Where else, if anywhere, would you like to see them expand light rail, or what else do you want them to be doing going forward?
Well, I think, you know, everyone's waiting for light rail. I've talked to a lot of people who are waiting for it, but hopefully it gets completed sooner than the projected year. But I think what we need to do, since it's coming out into the neighborhood, there's going to be a lot of new key data that we're going to have to look at. Number one, how is it going to affect the businesses outside the downtown area? How is traffic going to respond to it? Obviously, we had a lot of traffic accidents in the downtown area. I think we need to make sure that Metro and the people in District H and myself in the office are going to be working together to make sure and let the people know we've got a rail coming through here. I think it's going to be a little bit different than downtown, because you can have more of a neighborhood traffic where citizens are probably walking up and down the streets more often than it would be downtown at later hours than downtown. Usually downtown kind of settles after 5 or 6. You know, and here, if going into the neighborhood, you can have people walking probably later than that. So that's just one aspect. We work with Metro, make sure the neighborhood feels comfortable and safe about Metro coming through there, get them aware of Metro, get them to recognize the rail coming through there. As for the future, I like to see where it's going to extend other than North Line, maybe to towards the airport or towards anywhere to bring people coming in to commute back and forth easily from these other locations. Which are widespread of the city. You've got the airport way back north, and you've got Hobby Airport way back south. So Metro's rail is a good way of moving people back and forth. I just want to make sure we're moving safely, so that way we're used to the Metro coming in and out of our neighborhoods.
Okay. I-45 was a hot issue a couple years ago, and looked like textile was going to be expanding. It looks like there's some talk going on again. I'm certain that at some point TxDOT is going to be revisiting that. What do you want to see happen when this comes back into the forefront, when TxDOT starts looking at an I-45 expanding north of downtown. What do you want to see happen?
Well, first, I think we need to be at the table with TxDOT. I mean, I think history shows TxDOT usually does what TxDOT wants to do. It seems like when TxDOT comes around and they seem that they have more jurisdictional issues and do what they want to do when it comes to redeveloping freeways, I think we need to sit down and argue the point that as city council member, we need to be in these meetings. We need to make sure that our input's going to be taken well than just sitting there and listening to what TxDOT is really going to do. I know there's always been plans about re-expanding 45 into neighborhoods that is going to cause a big issue, taking away land space. So these things, we need to sit down and see if an alternative plan can be done or what else. It depends on the expense and if we're going to have to front what type of expense to ensure that neighborhoods aren't going to be cut out of it. But I think the first thing is that we need to be wrapped with TxDOT. They need to understand that we are also as important as they are before the decision comes across for them to start doing something without our input.
Okay. The city has just made an announcement about some changes to the curbside recycling program, where some neighborhoods are going to get bigger bins where they can mix everything in and include glass. The goal here is to increase participation by neighborhoods in curbside recycling, to increase the city's participation. What's your opinion of this, and what, if anything else, do you think the city should be doing to try and increase recycling participation rates?
Well, I'm fortunate that my neighborhood is participating in the large bin recycling pickup. And I tell you what, already I've filled that bin up with recycling items, and I think that a lot of the waste that we were what was losing in the regular waste was large cardboards. People, I'm sure, buy items or package in cardboards, and they're easy to fold up, and they're easy to put in the bigger bins. I can put my glass receptacles in there, or plastic receptacles. I think it's going to, in the long run, you're going to see the cities are recycling more and more and save more on as far as the payback on this. And the automated system, of course, is going to help alleviate those who would pick up the bins and create safety for the workers, and hopefully they won't, help them to alleviate injury while picking the old bins up. Now with the automated system, it's just like picking up the trash. So it's a big benefit. I enjoy it. I think a lot of the neighbors who I've seen enjoy it because it's a bigger bin. You can put more emphasis on recycling. My kids are already in doing the recycling mode, and it's even better for them because they can go directly to the green can, identify it, and before you know it, all the plastic bottles, aluminum cans are going directly into there. We don't have to wait to stack them up from the little bin that we had before. And then sometimes I'm sure people would just get frustrated and would throw it in a regular waste. Now you have insurance that a larger bin will be a larger recycling place for them.
Okay. We're going to be electing a new mayor in November. What would you like, and what aspects of Mayor White's mayoral tenure would you like to see the new mayor continue, and what aspects of his tenure would you like to see a new mayor change?
Good question. There's a lot of things the current mayor has done. I look at it this way, is that especially in law enforcement, we see, and I'm sure probably in fire department, is that we always look towards probably a new chief or a new administration. I think one person had asked me about, do you think police chiefs or fire chiefs or should be contracted? And you kind of look at it as a six-year term. Term limits is that it's kind of a contract in itself, because it's always when a new administration comes in, you kind of see a new chief somewhere or a new fire chief. So things like that, I hope the new mayor would look at it from both sides, and probably if there is going to be a new chief in fire and police to consider the experience that what both departments have and make a right choice for the community. Here again, we always pondered about bringing an outside chief and how well it would re- response of the department. There again, it's just, I think the community needs a chief in both places that know the community, know the city, know what kind of plan to put forward with his command staff, and hopefully the mayor can, the new mayor would see that and back that to help alleviate crimes and put more programs in place, and then having to wonder that if someone else from the outside comes in and how they're going to implement programs if they don't, you know, live in the city per se. So.
Okay. There's 9 candidates running in this election in May. What distinguishes you from the other 8?
Well, there again, my experience, so a native Estonian, you know, I've been here all my life, 23 years as a public servant as a Houston Police Department, 11 years working as a community service officer with a lot of civic leaders, city leaders, churches, schools, the youth programs, what they need, trying to get the juvenile aspect of crime to be lowered so these kids can understand that there is more than I guess gang life or drug life, that you know they have an opportunity and a chance to be a model citizen in Houston. And as for one, I think we need more programs to try to help the youth being involved in the community. It's the new generation that's coming around the corner, and I think that if I can send a message out, not just to the youth, but to those who can help the youth, to say, look, let's work on our future, let's build a better community, a better city. I want to put that message out that we're here to help the community. And also, I'll be a full-time council member. I don't have any other business. When I become council member, I'll retire from the police department. I would have to by the attorney general. And I'll be a full-time council member. It's my family and being a council member. Simple as that. I don't have to tend to any other interests of a business. I'm not a business owner, I'm not an attorney, or having to go into my law office. I said I would basically be here 24/7, just like my career is now, 24/7 as a council member, and that's what I'm banking on.
Okay, Rick Rodriguez, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Oh, thank you, appreciate it.